You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here. Nathan Zagura joined by Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl out in Berea. And this Friday, you can join Matt at the PNC Bank in Fairlawn on West Market Street, where he'll be hosting a Cleveland Browns tailgate. The event begins at 1 p.m. and scheduled to appear throughout the day are Browns alumni Frank Stams and Browns mascot Chomps the Dog. I mean, I don't know if you could get a better trio than that, folks. Wilhelm, Stams, Chomps.
Oh, we need a swagger, and it'd be a pate.
I feel like it. Yeah, I feel like swagger should be there. I think it would be pretty good. So that's this Friday at the PNC Bank in Fairlawn on West Market Street. See you there. We go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline now and welcome in Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. Nate, how you doing?
Doing well. How's it going?
Excellent. Three games into the season, the Browns 1-2, but they have all been nail-biters. Come down to the final whistle on field goal attempts. The Browns have been on the right side of one, the wrong side of two. Let me ask you this, Nate, though, about this Ravens game. What do the Browns need to do or correct in your mind? What are their biggest issues that can turn a game like that they should have won and turn that into a win instead of the loss that it was?
Well, you know, I think you can point to all three phases in the fourth quarter. You know, obviously special teams. When you're in those nail biters, when you're in those close division games, you know, a missed field goal and a blocked field goal, you can just sense it right away that that's going to come back to haunt you, and it certainly did. And then, you know, obviously the offense needs to get a first down to seal the win. You know, the same offense that drove the field and, you know, set up a game-winning field goal a week earlier against the Saints, couldn't get it done in crunch time this time. And the defense obviously folded there at the end, gave up the big play to Steve Smith, and allowed the Ravens to move into field goal range and win the game on the last-second field goal. So I think you saw breakdowns in every phase and the key moments, and they were just all too much to overcome, despite the team playing really well. Especially Brian Hoyer throughout the vast majority of the game.
Nate Metwilhelm here. Going into the bye week, what do you personally see as the issues both offensively, defensively, and special teams that jump out to you that need to be addressed moving forward into the season?
Well, the offense isn't perfect, but I agree with Mike Pettin when he said yesterday that it has overachieved. You know, I think the defense and special teams haven't held up their end of the bargain enough. And I think we're kind of in this bizarro world, if you will. I mean, judging by the preseason, you know, I think most people expected this offense to struggle. You know, the receiving core looked pretty bad. Brian Hoyer was struggling. And now Brian Hoyer is, I believe, 10th in the NFL with a passer rating of 97.5. Andrew Hawkins is playing out of his mind, even though he's a slot guy through and through. He's playing on the outside a lot and doing very well. I think that receiving core and Brian Hoyer have really stepped up, and I thought the identity of this team would be the defense, and the defense has really let them down so far, just giving up too many yards, especially on the ground. And special teams, I mean, they've got to figure out what they're going to do there. The extra point and field goal unit has had hiccups the past 2 weeks. They were lucky. They got really lucky against the Saints that botched PAT attempt did not come back to haunt them.
Absolutely.
And, of course, the two field goals did come back to haunt them. They didn't get away with it this past Sunday.
Let me ask you, though, Nate, do you feel like this team is different than past Browns team? Do you see a more competitive and complete product on the field, or do you think it is the same old Browns, as some would say?
No, I do see a more competitive product for sure. I mean, you know, you're down to the last play or the next to the last play in each of the first three games. Two are division rivals, others the Saints, you know, a team that a lot of people think highly of. All three quarterbacks they faced so far have won Super Bowls. To be 1-2 at this early bye week four, you know, I think it's not all bad, and there are reasons for optimism. I just think that it's weird because I think that most, if not all, the reasons for optimism stem from offense right now.
Right.
and you'd expect it to be the opposite. And I think that that's really going to be on Mike Pettin. Being a defensive coach, this is his expertise, to get this defense on track. You sign guys like Carlos Dansby and Dante Whitner, and they're supposed to be these great leaders. It's on them, too. They got to get this thing turned around. You spent a number 8 overall pick on a cornerback. Joe Hayden is playing up to his standards. So there's a lot of key guys on defense and a lot of key guys in the coaching staff have to use this early bye and get this defense turned around. Because, really, I mean, I think most Browns fans would say, oh, 1-2 at the bye with that schedule. I will take that. But you know what? If the defense does its part, I think you have a winning record right now.
I agree, and you touched upon someone that was going to allude to my next question with the number 8 pick in Justin Gilbert. What have you seen? What do you think? What can you put your thumb on as the problem, or is it multiple issues at this point with Justin Gilbert?
Well, you know, he's just it's a roller coaster ride, and I do believe that that's typical for young corners. But you've got to get more consistent play out of him, and that's on the coaching staff, that's on him as well. But you got to be able to help bring him along. I thought he really looked a lot better in week 2 than the opener when he struggled so much against Marcus Wheaton and the Steelers. But again, you know, last week he had limited reps. I think it was only, you know, maybe 14, 15 reps. And you know that the one play he just obviously he grabs the receiver's face mask and gets flagged. You know, you just got to stay on him, work on the technique. I think that he's going to require patience, but you need him, and you need him to step up. You need him to mature quickly if you're going to have a chance to make some real progress as a defense, because they're just counting on him too much to play a significant role. And, you know, he's got to deliver in some capacity. It's not going to be a finished product. It's not going to be perfect. But he is the 8th overall pick. He should be capable, and they've got to bring that out of him.
What do you think about Joe Hayden's start to this season? A little bit rough in the first 3 games after signing his big contract. And Mike Pettin said, the great ones are going to make big plays when it's needed. And I think that's one area where Joe will look to improve. Coach kind of singling him out there. What do you think about that?
I think he's absolutely right. I mean, Antonio Brown has given Joe problems throughout his career. He gave him problems in the opener. We saw it on that 35-yard touchdown. Jimmy Graham, he's going to make plays. And he did on Joe. And, you know, when you look at Sunday and Steve Smith beats him on the go route, catches a 32-yard pass to set the game-winning field goal, Mike Pettin sets a perfectly thrown ball, but you got to make a play. I mean, Joe Hayden is a Pro Bowl cornerback. He is paid like an elite player now, and he thinks he is an elite player. He thinks he's one of the best cornerbacks in the league. He hasn't played like it in these first 3 weeks, but we know that's in him. We've seen him. I mean, we know what Joe Hayden's capable of. I don't know if he's just in a slump right now. I don't know if it has to do with adjusting to a new scheme. I don't know if it's something having to do with his foot, which was injured in the preseason. He sat out the last 2 exhibition games. But whatever it is, that's another guy that Browns absolutely need to regroup during this bye and come out and play a lot better, because, you know, when you have guys that you can normally depend on, you know, kind of regress a little bit or not play up to their standards, then you get those kind of breakdowns, and the defense needs Joe Hayden at his best.
I agree. And again, Nate, before we let you go here, yeah, talk to me a little bit about what you would like to see. I know we've addressed a lot of it, but I think this middle patch of the schedule here for the Cleveland Browns, you know, leaves us all thinking about, you know, what's next. We'll address what we need to do here in the bye, but that middle stretch, I really do feel if we can get things together defensively, what this could do as a confidence booster before we hit that tail end and get Josh Gordon back at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the schedule and you look at the records of the teams, it's certainly an early, you know, still early. small sample size, but you think that there's a real chance to do some damage here coming up after the bye. And I just think the offense needs to really kind of do what it's been doing. If it can stay consistent and not regress and play at this level, I think it's going to be okay. You know, the Browns have not committed a turnover. They're the only team in the NFL that can say that right now through 3 weeks. That's amazing.
And yep.
A lot of the credit goes to Brian Hoyer. So if they can do that, if they can, you know, keep the running game on track, and I think Ben Tate coming back will help, even though the rookies have impressed. I think, you know, there's some certain breakdowns you see. Ben, you know, Brian Hoyer might turn to hand off, and the guy's not there. We've seen it at least off the top of my head twice this season.
Yep.
And I think Ben Tate's there. I think he's in the right spot to take the handoff and pick up yards. So I think Ben Tate will help coming back. I think he'd keep the rookies in the mix. So I think the running game's encouraging. The offensive line's playing well. And I think Brian Hoyer is playing well in the receiving corps too. So I think the offense just needs to keep doing what it's doing for the most part. It's not perfect, but I do think that it's okay. It's fine. They can win games playing the way they're playing, especially turnover free. Defensively, you've got so many things to fix against the run and against the pass. If Mike Pettine's resume is an indicator of the kind of defensive coach he is, I think that they'll get this thing straightened out. But that's the key. I mean, it's unbelievable, really, to me that the Browns have been searching for good quarterback play for all these years. They're finally really getting it here to start this season from Brian Hoyer. They got it a little bit last year from him, too. But they're getting it right now, and they're wasting it because of defense and special teams. It's unbelievable to me. It's bizarro world. It's expect the unexpected. So it's really on the defense. They've got to clean these things up, or they're not going to capitalize on that patch of the schedule that you and I think can really be advantageous for them.
No, I agree, and hopefully they can. Last one for me, Nate, is you mentioned the running game. You mentioned Ben Tate coming back. If you were the coach, how would you divvy up that backfield? Who's your starter? Who's number two? Who's number three? And how do you divvy up the reps between those three players?
Well, I think I made it clear. I think Ben Tate would still be my starter just because I think right now those guys are rookies and they still have a learning curve, and that comes back to bite you once in a while and in some crucial situations. You know, Terrence West went the wrong way. When I believe it was second and goal from the 10, he went the wrong way. Brian Hoyer turned around. He wasn't there. Brian Hoyer took a sack for minus 6 yards on a broken play. They end up getting pushed back during that series, and that ends with the blocked 36-yard field goal. So, you know, plays like that you can't have. I mean, Terrence Nope. West has done a great job in a lot of ways. But you got to stay on top of things. And not to say that Ben Tate is immune to mistakes, but I think you're going to get fewer from him because he knows what he's doing for the most part as a veteran and who's familiar with that type of system. So I think it would be him. And then I think I would go split West and Crowell. I like Crowell. I honestly think I like Crowell's running style a little more than West. He hasn't gotten as many carries. He has a higher average.
Yep.
He has one more touchdown. I like his style. I really like Crowell. I think he's a diamond in the rough and a great find by Ray Farmer. So I would kind of split the, you know, instead of having a bona fide number two, I think I would let those guys split that role behind Ben Tate.
Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Thanks, Nate. And you guys can follow him at Nate Ulrich, ABJ, on Twitter. Appreciate the time, brother.
Thanks, Nate.
Hey, thanks as always, guys. Take care.
You got it. When we come back, Matt and I will hand out our grades for the defense and the special teams in week number 3.
Dun, dun, dun.
Not going to be as fun as the offensive team meeting just was, Matt, but we will certainly tackle that when we return here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.